body of Christ as it relates to manifesting kingdom greatness. Ladies and gentlemen, can we rise up on our feet this evening as we welcome to Retouch Conference Apostle Joshua Nimak.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Global Impact Church, can we give Jesus a big hand clap and a shout of praise? Like you have been blessed all through the course of this conference. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Please help me appreciate Pastor Yemi Davids and his dear wife, Pastor Bimbo. My goodness, please. When I came in here, I said, Pastor, this is phenomenal. This is excellent. This is impactful. God bless you, sir. We honor you and we love you. Is this the best you can do for your pastor? Hallelujah. Amen. I honor every man, every woman of God here. But please allow me to celebrate and honor my dear friend and brother, Pastor Shola. God bless you, sir. I missed your session again. Thank you. Thank you. And then can we honor the amazing Minister Mercy Chinwo? It was such a phenomenal time. God bless you, woman of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I felt stirred in my heart to start tonight by just making certain prophetic declarations that I just sense welled up in my spirit. And there are not many times where God moves me that way, but while Pastor was preparing, I just sensed that spirit of prophecy just to speak over someone. Therefore, I decree and declare over your life in a name that is above all names. Step into a season of greatness. I'm only speaking to receivers. Step into your season of greatness. No matter what you have seen, no matter what dimension of greatness you have entered, welcome to a new chapter. Welcome to a new season. In the name of Jesus Christ, may this be the season where the great will call you great. Where the lifted will call you lifted. Where the blessed will call you blessed. Where the helped of God will call you helped. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare the wisdom for the hour, receive it. The strategy for the hour, receive it. The wisdom for the hour, receive it. The strategy for the hour, receive it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There are three things that are very important for manifesting. One, the prophecy. Two, the strategy. Three, the timing. If you miss these three things, you will never emerge. One, the prophecy. Number two, the strategy. You can have an accurate prophecy, great things spoken of you, but if you invent your own strategy, you will fail as if God did not send you. It takes His strategy to bring His prophecy to pass. But you can have the right strategy and miss out on the timing. The Bible says Jesus wept. One of the reasons why He cried was because Jerusalem did not know their hour of visitation. He said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." I want to pray these three things for you. Then we get to the ministry of the word. I sense in my heart that someone is confused about destiny, not knowing exactly what God wants you to do. You are sincere, but you need clarity. Therefore, I pray for you by the spirit of revelation. Find clarity in the course of this conference. Find clarity in the course of this conference. In the name of Jesus. Number two. There are those who have notebooks full of prophetic things. Your receiving was accurate, but the strategy, bankruptcy of it, is why you are still where you are. God can tell you, "I will give you Jericho," but don't guess your way. You may use a sword, whereas the strategy is to walk around. When it has to do with walking with God, you don't need creativity. You need yieldedness. It is when it has to do with dominion in the cosmos, that's when creativity is needed. If you decide to be creative and invent your own way of bringing prophecy to pass, it may look intelligent, but you will still fail. Therefore, I pray for you. The seeing eye and the hearing ear that can deliver for you the strategy for the hour needed for your rising, needed for your shining. May my God deliver it unto you. May my God deliver it unto you in the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 80, the Bible says, and John the prophet, you call him the Baptist, the Bible says he remained in the wilderness until his season of showing forth. There is a timing to the manifestation of prophecy. Hallelujah. When a baby is born 2 months, you don't call it delivery. There is another name for it. It's not delivery and it's not celebrated. Am I right on that? But when a baby is born 9 months, you celebrate because the timing was right. Every time a prophet prophesies, he says, according to the time of life. Therefore, I decree and declare, for some of you who have come to your season, but there is an attack stopping the birthing, I come as a prophetic midwife tonight, and I decree and declare, in the name that is above all names, may your timing be revealed. And whatever you are carrying in the womb of your spirit, may it be birthed in this conference. May it be birthed in this conference. May it be birthed in this conference. In the name of Jesus. Therefore, shout after me. Say, Father. Again, like you're serious. Say, Father. In the name of Jesus, I access grace and wisdom for the hour. I access grace and wisdom for the hour. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Pray in the spirit. Pray seriously. Pray aggressively. This is a season where you increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Therefore, I receive the wisdom. I receive the wisdom. I receive the grace. Shaprantaka parakatosh. 1 minute, you are praying. Zakata prantaka parakata bakata. As a pastor, the wisdom for the hour, the strategy for the hour, in the name of Jesus, the empowerment for the hour. More seconds. Global Impact Church, Body of Christ, Recharge Conference. Receive grace, receive grace, receive wisdom. Your destiny depends on it. The next chapter depends on it. The next decade depends on it. Your relevance in this season depends on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Let's acknowledge the great one. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. But it's of his fullness we have received. Great are you, of the living God, we submit to your wisdom. Now, you are called the spirit of wisdom. We submit our minds and we submit our spirits to the influence of your person. We submit to the wisdom of your word. Change us tonight. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, our hearts that we may know. We pray in the name of Jesus that tonight will be a business of greatness for our destinies. It will be evident, unmistakable, that we're a people you have helped. I pray in the name of Jesus that the weary will find hope tonight. The weak will find strength. The sick will find healing. In the name of Jesus Christ, be glorified, for it is in Jesus' matchless and mighty name we pray. Give Jesus a big hand clap, and you may please be gloriously seated. Truly, it's my joy and my honor to be here to share fellowship first and foremost, and then to make meaningful contributions as far as this conference is concerned. It's always a joy and an honor to serve Jesus. And so thank you very much, Global Impact Church, for receiving me and that dimension that God has granted grace to communicate. I pray that God will bless us in Jesus' name. I'm teaching as part of the theme for the conference. I'll be teaching on redefining greatness. Redefining greatness. And please allow me to label tonight's session part one, redefining greatness. You may want to listen to some of the thoughts that I have to share. I was blessed myself while putting my notes together for this discussion. Matthew chapter 20, please. Verse 26. Then we'll go to Mark 9:35. Matthew 20 and verse 26. It said, "But it shall not be so among you," Jesus is speaking, "but whosoever will be great among you," he says, "let him be your minister," is the word servant. Mark 9:35. In fact, let's start from 33 to give it perspective. Mark chapter 9 and 33. He came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What is it that ye disputed among yourselves?" By the way, 34. "But they held their peace, for by the way he had disputed among themselves," they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. So it was a contention among the disciples. 35. "And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Let's look at one scripture, maybe one last. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 11 and 12. Profound scripture. May I request that we read together if you do not mind? Ready? One, two, go. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted above it all." May verse 12 be your testimony. It says, "Both riches and honor come from," "and thou reignest over all, and it is in your hand power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength unto all." The Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus Christ. Redefining greatness. First off, the subject of greatness is one that applies to everybody, whether we are honest enough to admit it or not. We find great comfort knowing that we're making strategic progress in our lives. And like you probably may have heard me say, one of the indices that measure satisfaction and fulfillment is a feeling of advancement. To the degree to which you perceive that your life is moving forward, it has a way of feeding into your sense of self-worth and giving you a reason to be happy, a reason to be glad. And so everyone desires to go forward. When you hear words like congratulations, when you hear word like well done, when you hear words like excellent, these are words that on their own, they are subliminal messages that suggest that you are making progress with your life. Are we right on that? But just to establish a few foundations. Number one, our God is a great God. Psalm 48 and verse 1. It's important for us to have this at the back of our mind in discussing this subject. It says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and in the mountain of his holiness." Our God is a great God. Psalm 145 and verse 3. God is a great God. Would you shout that after me? God is a great God. 145 and verse 3 of Psalm says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." He says, "And his greatness is unsearchable." 2 Samuel 7 and verse 22. God is a great God. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 22. God is a great God. He said, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. God is a great God. Number two, we have a destiny of greatness in Christ. We have a destiny of greatness in Christ. Speaking to the patriarch, our father Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1, he was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and God proposed a blessing to him from verse 2. And among the many things, the many propositions, he said, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. He says, and thou shalt be a blessing. Can we shout verse 3 together? It says, I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curseth you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. When you read Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, the Bible says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Meaning when he spoke these things to Abraham, it was to Abraham and his seed. His seed there meaning Jesus, and through Jesus and by Jesus and in union with him, we are partakers of all of that blessing. We have a destiny of greatness. Abraham himself was very great. Genesis 24 and verse 1. The Bible says Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And it says the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Verse 35 of the same verse. 24:35. Genesis chapter 24. I say, and the Lord had blessed my master greatly. And he has become great. And he had given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, men servants, maid servants, camel and asses. Isaac was great. Genesis 26 and verse 13. Isaac was great. He experienced greatness. The Bible says the man waxed great and went forward and grew till he became very great. Let me turn it into a prophetic word that in 2026, the remaining half of 2026, let this be your prophetic word that you will wax great. Are you saying amen? That you will go forward, you will grow until you become very great in the name of Jesus Christ. We have promises of greatness scattered through scripture. The Bible is not silent as to God's desire to have believers be great. Psalm 71, 21, it says, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. You don't want to be great with trouble on every side. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. In Psalm 115, 14 to 15, great promises of greatness in scripture. It says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. So every time you hear a word that applies to you, what do you say? You shout a believing amen. I said, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children, in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself spoke about greatness. Jesus, when he walked in the flesh, he spoke about greatness. In Matthew chapter 20 from verse 20, it was a discussion that was centered around greatness in the kingdom. Jesus addressed that subject. The Bible says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. 21. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in thy kingdom. 22. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I shall baptize with? And they said, we are able. 23. And he said, ye shall surely drink of the cup and be baptized with the baptism, but to sit at my right and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. 24. Reading to 28. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the true brethren. 25. Jesus now called them and said unto them, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them, upon them, but it shall not be so among you. whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. It's the word servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Final verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, he says, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus spoke about greatness. Now, very quickly, what is greatness? I didn't know how hard it was to define greatness until I began to put my notes together. Very, very hard. There are five major words that attempt to describe or define greatness in my study. Number one, achievements. Number two, character. Number three, impact and contribution. Number four, acquisitions or possessions. I'll take it again. Number five, influence or spread. These are the five words that represent the entirety of the concept of greatness, generally speaking. Number one, achievement. It's impossible to truly define greatness and not slip in the idea of achievement. Number two, character. There is a dimension of greatness that is predicated on who you are, not just what you can do. Number three, impact and contribution. A major part of greatness is defined by the difference that you make. Number four, acquisitions and possessions. As uncomfortable as it is a measure of greatness. Number five, influence or spread. It's impossible to talk about greatness without bringing the concept of influence or spread. Can I repeat it one last time? Number one, achievements. Number two, character. Number three, impact and contribution. Number four, acquisitions or possessions. And then number five, influence or spread. So in attempting to define greatness, regardless how you navigate it, for your definitions to be wholesome, it must capture these areas. Remember, we're talking kingdom greatness. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. It then means for you to be great, to be defined as one who is great, we must be able to see representations of these realities aforementioned in your life. Now, like you're going to be learning, coming to Christ does not mean you select the one that you want. It is rather about prioritizing it. Are we learning already? Because somehow we can fall prey into the deception that you just select the most moral or the most spiritually agreeable aspect of this. Usually is service, and then you isolate the rest. But Jesus said, I am come that ye may have life. And he says, if it's the one I give it to its fullest. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, very quickly, generally speaking, what is the basis for greatness? It's sad and unfortunate that not everyone can be termed great. I'm speaking generally now. We'll soon come to kingdom. At what point and by what parameter do you say a man is great? Hallelujah. With all due respect, you cannot see someone roaming around the street and call him great. That means whether we have language for it or not, there are certain things that until they are found in a man, an individual, you cannot say that person is great. There are at least three of the qualities or features that must be found in an individual to be called great. Number one is called value or the mastery of craft. Number one, the first basis to measure greatness, generally speaking. Now we're coming kingdom. I'm just giving you a general definition. It's impossible to say someone is great without mastery being represented there. Value, and particularly the mastery of craft. Hallelujah. While I was in the office, I think, Pastor, you were introducing Minister Mercy Chinwo. Was it you or another pastor was introducing her? And I didn't know she had gotten so many awards like this. I was listening to it and I said, wow, this is interesting. And at the time she came up to minister, even though she glorified God, she justified those awards. The mastery of craft. Did you get that now? Yes. It's impossible to call ignorance greatness. It's impossible to call amateurism greatness. No matter how you go around it, mastery is directly connected to greatness. Are we learning now? Number two, impact. Sometimes you can be very valuable, but it is the ones you bless that give credence to you being called great, not just what you have. You can be very valuable, but your greatness can also be measured and is usually measured by how many people attest to their lives enjoying the difference you have made by reason of what you can do. Praise the name of the Lord. The second basis for greatness is impact. And then number three, character, who you are. Who you are. There are many people who have accomplished so much, but then you cannot call them great because there is a deficiency in who they are. Integrity. That's the reason why sometimes they give people awards, they give people certain positions based on their skill, but also the people give them an idea that your moral excellence is part of why that award remains. And should there be any compromise on your moral standing, those awards can be withdrawn. Am I right on that? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Degrees are awarded, for example, given to people based on excellence in terms of intellect and also conduct in terms of character. And if there is a default in any one of them, they can withdraw all of those honor. Praise God. I'm just giving, laying a foundation. Do you understand me so far? This is very important. Like I said, you cannot measure greatness outside of these five indices that I gave you earlier on. Perhaps I should repeat it for someone who did not get it. When you're generally measuring greatness, you must talk about achievements. You must talk about character. You must talk about impact or contribution through service. You must talk about possessions or acquisitions. You must talk about influence or spread. But my focus for tonight is to help you answer just two questions. Number one, why greatness? Why should believers be interested in the subject of greatness? I thought there are many other topics that are worth our attention and time. Why should a conference like this be dedicated? It's important to understand the why. Why do we need to discuss the subject of greatness? Why is it very important? I'll give you two reasons very quickly. Number one, greatness is an expression of dominion. Greatness is an expression of dominion. It's impossible to truly fulfill the dominion mandate without capturing greatness eventually in your life. Now, if you care to know, there are at least five mandates that the believer has as far as our assignment is concerned, corporately speaking. Number one, for an example, we have a mandate for souls, world evangelization. You find that in Mark 16, 15 to 20. We have a mandate for souls. Number two, we have a mandate to bear fruit. Fruitfulness is not just a desire, it's a mandate. John 15, 8, John 15, 16. We have a mandate to be fruitful as a primary channel for glorifying God. The Bible says, "Herein is our Father glorified," John 15, 8, "that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples," John 15, 16. "You have not called me, chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Number three, we have a mandate to bring the church into a point of maturity and stature. That's why he gave the fivefold ministry. I'm just digressing to show you at least five mandates that we have. Ephesians chapter 4, when you read from verse 11 to verse 16. It was for the maturing of the saints that he gave unto some apostles and prophets and evangelists and teaching pastors or pastors and teachers. Praise the name of the Lord. Number four, we have a mandate to transform societies and nations. It is an apostolic mandate that every believer has. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 13 to 16. The believer there is likened to salt and light. 13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. Not some are the salt. All of you, corporately speaking, you have a mandate to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savour, it says, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thence good for nothing except to be thrown down, trodden under foot of men. 14 says, you are the light of the world. You are a city that is set on a hill. Do you believe that? Yes. It says, neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but that it is put on a lampstand or a candlestick, and it gives light to everyone who is there. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. We have a mandate to transform nations. Number 5, we have a mandate to walk in love. Walking in love is not a choice, it's a mandate. In John chapter 13, 34 to 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, a new commandment, not a new suggestion, not a new idea, a new commandment, that you should love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, it says, by this, by fulfilling this mandate of love, not just by praying in tongues, not just by miracle signs and wonders, by this shall all men, when you walk miracles, some men will believe. When you walk deliverances, some men will believe. But when you walk in love, it has the power to make all men believe that you are my disciples. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So these, among others, I'm just giving you the reason, the basis why you should be intentional about considering the subject of greatness. If you truly love Jesus Christ and you want to fulfill the dominion mandate, then you, in addition to studying other very important matters of the kingdom like consecration, prayer, and the rest, you must study the subject of greatness. And sometimes the church is not bold enough to invest in studying these kinds of things, because most people are afraid of deviating from God's program. And this is why conferences like this are very important, because it brings a kingdom perspective. Hallelujah. Rather than rejecting the subject, it brings a kingdom perspective. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So the first reason why we need to contend for greatness is that in our contending for greatness, we fulfill the dominion mandate. Number 2, God through our greatness is glorified in the earth. Be sure of that. God through our greatness is glorified in the earth. John 17 and verse 1. Very profound scripture. I'd like us to chorus it together when we have it projected. The Bible says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, now you join me, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. One more time. Glorify, exalt your son, announce your son, lift your son, prosper your son, give your son influence, that your son may also glorify you. In theology, we call it the reflection principle. An object does not glorify itself. It will cast that glory on the image, and it is the glory from the image that brings glory to the son. The father does not glorify himself. It is Jesus who glorifies the father. Jesus does not glorify himself. The church, in partnership with the Holy Spirit, glorifies Jesus. The church does not glorify herself. It is dominion over the cosmos that brings glory to the church. You see now, our dominion brings glory to the church. The church brings glory to Jesus the Son. The Son brings glory to the Father. I don't know about you, but I intend to glorify Jesus and glorify the Father maximally with my life. So we don't just sing it, we align so that it becomes our reality. Galatians 1:24, profound scripture. Let's shout it together when you see it projected. If you're understanding me so far, go ahead. One, two, go. One more time. This is a profound scripture. Not just that God was glorified, they glorified God in me. I became a living epistle. that someone folded his arms and watched your life, and at the end of it, his prayer life came alive. He saw the profit of loving Jesus through your life, the profit of living for Jesus through your life, the profit of serving Jesus through your life. That your life has become verses of scripture. When people look at your life, it jacks their prayer life back. It jacks their hunger for God back. Not just by fanatism. Are we together? That the level of excellence that comes from you is like a perfume that compels many to bow to the Lordship of Christ. May that be your testimony from today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, let's discuss greatness in the kingdom. This is the core of my introduction for my session, Greatness in the Kingdom. The conference seeks to zoom our redefinition to fit the kingdom context. And this is where I believe for many of us, there will be a mind shift, because there is a real contrast between approaching greatness from the secular and the mainstream worldly understanding and then the kingdom. Let me read a few things that I wrote here, and then I'll establish others. The major difference I wrote here between greatness in the kingdom and greatness in the world, or as the world defines it, is not the presence or the absence of the qualities aforementioned. That means when you are attempting to state the difference or to contrast greatness in the kingdom or the outside of the kingdom, it is not the absence or the presence of possessions. Are we together? Because sometimes believers, in attempting to define greatness in the kingdom, they take away things like possession, they take away things like achievement, then they zoom down on things like service. As sincere as that is, when Jesus was using service as a principal index to measure greatness, he was not downplaying the rest. It was a reprioritization. Are we together? So redefining greatness does not mean you have to omit and take out all of these other valuable aspects. I listed five for you: achievement, impact, possession or acquisitions. Are we together? And so on and so forth. This is very important. Now listen to this. For an example, when we talk about greatness in the kingdom, we are talking about the rearrangement of these parameters that measure greatness so that it reflects the priorities of the kingdom. Is someone learning now? That means achievement is important. Impact is important. Character is important. But the moment you start talking kingdom, they are not important at the same level. So greatness in the kingdom now seeks to redefine them so that they line up with the priority of the kingdom. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. For an example, character and impact through service are nobler measures than acquisitions and achievements. While acquisitions and achievements are important, the moment you start talking kingdom language, we don't take them away, but we reprioritize them. You cannot place achievements, are we together? You cannot place a desire for influence above character and service. Now you are talking secular. Who is learning now? So the idea is not to remove the parameters, but to begin to rearrange them to reflect the values of the kingdom. If you're following, say amen. Amen. Greatness in the kingdom, I wrote here, starts with an orientation that redefines value and worth. I want to stop here for a moment. You can never talk about greatness in the kingdom until there is a redefinition of your concept of value and worth. Can I talk about this for a few minutes? Please look up. Value for anyone who, or worth for anyone who is not in the kingdom, is usually centered around skill and is centered around the presence of external things. Are we together? But the Lord changed my life radically when he gave me a redefinition of value. In fact, Jesus himself said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he has. Am I right on that? Now, nothing in the kingdom, and please listen to this. Nothing, when you come to kingdom, there is no such thing as intrinsic value. Nothing in the kingdom has intrinsic value. Value in the kingdom is only defined by the alignment of anything and anyone to the will of God and the program of God. This is where value is derived. Now, in the secular, gold is intrinsically valuable, whether it's refined or not. That's what I mean by intrinsic value. You can always sell it. There is desirability. But in the kingdom, you only say a person is valuable, a thing is valuable to the degree to which it can serve the program of God. So beauty is a useless concept in the kingdom, independent of its ability to serve the program of God. Are we together now? Skill is a useless concept in the kingdom, outside of its ability to serve the program of God. Wealth is a useless concept outside of its ability to serve the program of God. Are we together now? There is such a thing in the kingdom as a rich fool. These are two words that should not be used, because foolishness and wealth should not go together. But in the kingdom, there is such a concept as a rich fool. Why? Because the riches did not find a way of serving a nobler program. So when we define value in the kingdom, it has nothing to do with your bank account. It has nothing to do with your skill. It has nothing to do with your qualification. Are we together? Anything, including your failure, becomes valuable once it aligns to serve the program of God. Anything that comes into divine alignment to serve the will of God and the program of God is considered valuable. Who is understanding me? So, the definition of anything mundane in the kingdom is that whatever it is, no matter how noble, no matter how glorious, it lacks the ability to serve the program of God. Don't tell me you are beautiful. That's a useless language as far as kingdom is concerned. Show me how Esther uses her beauty to get to the palace and serves the program of God. Now Esther is valuable. Don't tell me Samson is strong. That's a useless concept until you show me how the strength of Samson can serve the program of God. Are we together now? Everything in the kingdom derives its value from its alignment, its ability to serve the program of God and to serve the will of God. So when you say I am valuable in the secular, you may mean I went to school, and you are right. You may mean I have degrees and doctorates. You may mean I am exposed. You may mean I'm a director, I have money, I have estates. You are right. But once we come to the kingdom, all those things are counted but dung. It is the part of you that serves God. That's the part of you that is valuable. The cross was an empty wood, but the moment the cross could receive the body of a savior, it became valuable forever. A woman's hair was a concept that did not make sense, but the moment it served the feet of the master, it became valuable. A donkey that was just an animal that you could cut suddenly became valuable because it allowed Jesus to have a triumphant entry. Do you not see it in the Bible? The boat that was useless and left for nothing, the moment the master had need of it, my goodness, who is understanding me? You cannot talk greatness in the kingdom until there is a reorientation on value. Now, we live in a society where there's pressure. Pressure comes from secular, pressure comes from society. And sometimes we fall prey, we become victims by redefining value and worth based on acquisitions. Poor orientation. Value is defined by the ability of a thing, a man, anything at all, including failure, including your past, including defeat, including your crown, including your tears. Once they can serve the program of God and come into alignment to reveal the will of God, it is considered valuable. So when we say you are aligned in the kingdom, what we mean is that everything about your life is intentionally invested in serving the program of God. When you say I am a businessman, when a kingdom man hears you, what he's saying is that I am a witness who is using the vehicle of business to serve the program of God. You see how the language changes now. There is no such thing as businessman in the kingdom. We are all witnesses. Business is simply the geography of witness. When you come into the kingdom, there's no such thing as preacher. You are a witness who is using the platform of preaching to serve the program of God. And your value does not depend on crowd or few people, on open doors or whatever it is. To what degree are you invested serving the program of God? Is somebody learning now? This is very profound. Very profound. We're discussing greatness in the kingdom now. That there needs to be a redefinition, number one, of worth and value. So that if you say, I am not valuable simply because you don't have a job or your account is red, but you are invested in birthing the will of God. No worker in this church should say, I'm not valuable. No, it is because of your time, your energy, your resources that many are receiving this word right now. Because you are invested directly in God's program, you are considered valuable. The womb that gives birth to the prophet that changes a nation makes the career of that womb valuable. The money in the account of one who advances the program of God makes that person valuable. The degree that is used to intelligently communicate kingdom concepts, whether in church or in the banking hall or wherever, you see that now, that degree becomes valuable because it can serve the program of God. If you have this redefinition, then you're on your way to understanding kingdom greatness. A man's worth or a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he has. Is someone learning? Shout this convincingly. Say, I'm valuable. Say it again. Say, I'm valuable. Don't say that with respect to the entrance or the exit of things in your life. That's a risk. Depending on things coming or things going to define your worth is dangerous. You will smile today and cry tomorrow. So someone says, I'm valuable. Why? They say, I just got promoted. Is that true? No. When we talk kingdom, you're being promoted or not, you're rising or not, you're having plenty or not, does not really count. What counts is that your life in plenty or lack, your life in health or otherwise, is perpetually invested in God's program. The one who is not invested in God's program, no matter what you have, no matter what you are, that's why in the kingdom there are people called great, there are people called small. What is the parameter for measuring it? Did you not read about a man called Lazarus? Please look up. Are we Bible students? Did you read about a man called Lazarus and the rich man? It's in your Bible, isn't it? Now, physically speaking, if you were to contrast those two people, the Bible says Lazarus was a beggar. And then the man had affluence. He had everything that would define greatness. Hallelujah. In fact, there was a city in the Bible that the Bible, God himself called it a great city. It's called Nineveh. Nineveh was a great city. Babylon was a great city. Egypt was a great city. And yet they were all depraved. Why? Because they could not serve the program of God. But the moment Egypt aligned with God's program by promoting Joseph, it became the epicenter of God's attention. Are you seeing that now? The Bible says they died, Lazarus and the rich man. And suddenly there was a switch of priorities when they got to the realm of the spirit. Lazarus was at Abraham's bosom. The rich man was somewhere burning and crying for at least a pinch of water so that he could quench his thirst. And he said, go back, please, since you cannot help me, go back and give a renewed orientation to my people that it is not about acquisitions, it's about being invested serving the program of God. He said, no, they have the law and they have the prophets. There are people there who would tell them, hoping that they would listen. There's nothing wrong with acquiring things. But let me tell you, when you know this, the next time you go to worship, make sure everything you have joins you worshiping. The part of you that does not worship God is the idol in your life. The part of you that cannot worship God is the idol in your life. I can't lay prostrate and then my bank account is standing. We bow together. I can't lay prostrate and whatever awards are standing. When we worship Him, our crowns worship Him. Our hair, glory, worship Him. Our tears worship Him. Our pain, everything must worship Him. Is someone learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. So we must redefine the concept of worth and value. The second thing we must redefine very quickly is the concept of purpose. Purpose. There is a central purpose for all things that we do under the earth for the believer in Christ. Whether it's business, whether it's preaching, whether it's politics, there is a central meeting point for all of us, and it represents our corporate mandate, the purpose behind all things that we do. We find it in John chapter 1 from verse 6 to 7. It says, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. Then it says the same, verse 7, came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through his witness might believe. Question, believe that what? Believe that what? Are we together? That means the central purpose that governs every activity, every pursuit, every desire should be revealing Jesus to your world and bringing him glory. Please write this as a rule of thumb. Let this be what motivates your asking for anything. Let this be what motivates your wanting to study. Let this be what motivates your wanting promotion, a redefinition of purpose. Any other definition outside of this is corrupted. The desire to reveal Jesus to your world so that they believe, and the desire to bring him glory, that is the overarching, is the anchor motivation for any believer. If you want to do business with God, that's the deal that you must have, that my life and everything about me must be all about revealing Jesus and bringing him glory. Then you're ready to see greatness God's way. Please listen to me. It is not very difficult for God to lift people. When I sat and I was listening to, I'm a very meditative person. Sometimes it makes me, I feel very embarrassed, because, you know, sometimes you need to be alive and active. But once I see things, my spirit and my mind takes them seriously. So while she was singing and dancing, I was just looking at the wordings of her songs. My imaginations have turned to reality. Oh my God, you do this one. And I say, how true. I was just looking at the truthfulness of what was there, that God can pick a man from anywhere to anywhere. But you see, the key is that there must be a determination, like a covenant within you, that God, my rising will be the lifting of your name, that I have no other agenda. Are we together now? That God will not regret lifting you, that the body of Christ will not see your rising as a curse, your shining. That if God adds 1 naira, 10 naira, 20 naira, it becomes a plus to his program. Is someone learning now? This is powerful. Let me tell you, every time you come to God and say, God, give me, help me, lift me, there's only one question he's going to ask: why? And if you cannot answer that why, then you will remain there for a long time. Now, God is not the only one who can lift you, but he's the only one who can give you rest while lifted. There are many other ways to rest. Sincerely so. Every time we see people, I hate to use the word celebrity. It's not a word that I like to use. But when we see people who God has helped mercifully, whether in ministry, in business, in music, in whatever area, we admire them sometimes with such godlike admiration, and we pray, desiring to have the same experience. Let me tell you, in the kingdom, if you want to be lifted by God, tomorrow we'll take the time to deal with the principles of greatness in the kingdom. But tonight, I just want to open you up that once you are a believer and you are discussing kingdom, leave achievements. Once you are discussing kingdom, leave all of those things. It's about a redefinition of your sense, your concept of worth, and your concept of purpose. It introduces Jesus and exalts him at the epicenter of your pursuit. So when they ask you as a CEO, why are you trusting God for your company to go global? You can tell them, well, we want to bless lives. You have to use the language of the Chaldeans. But once you come into the kingdom and they say, why do you want to be lifted? If you say, because I want more fame, you fail so woefully. No. It is to give more space for his name to be lifted. You see that now? This is powerful. I sense in my spirit that we are in a season in the church where we are going to see spectacular demonstrations of the lifting power of Jesus. I'm telling you, ordinary men, men with no history that represents an advantage, some of them in caves somewhere making destiny bargains, vowing that, Lord, my rising will be a blessing to the kingdom. You will see people emerge supposedly from nowhere like arrows from a man's quiver. They will rise from the north, the south. Some will be preachers, some will be worshipers. All you've seen is not all there is. There are still others who are waiting with God, walking with God. Maybe I'm describing someone here right now. You are scattered across the crowd. It is in your destiny to be great, but God sent me here to purify your understanding. If it is God you want to do business with, there must be a redefinition of your value. Hallelujah. If these two things are right, it will be difficult for you to fall. Because when Satan comes to make men fall, these are the two things he uses: a corruption of your understanding of worth and value. That's the foundation of pride. So if you do not call me Apostle Joshua Selman, I feel insulted because I say you are downplaying my self-worth, not knowing that it's the message and the grace that makes the messenger powerful. Are you seeing that now? But because there is that redefinition, if you say I'm stupid and I'm in the kingdom, the answer is I am not. So you just carry your ignorance and go. Are you seeing that now? It's easy to love when you have knowledge. It's easy to love when you have understanding. Who is learning? If I prophesy right now and I say receive supernatural breakthrough, everybody's going to shout amen. If I say receive open doors, and I will say it, I'm soon going to pray it. In the name of Jesus, anything that is fighting your portion, let it give way. You shout amen. But let me tell you why we look frustrated in the midst of high and lofty and accurate prophetic words. Because there is a part of our heart, when it has to do with greatness, my beloved brothers and sisters, there is a circumcision that God must do in the heart of a man. Redefining value. That means if God tells you go left, it means nothing in terms of embarrassment or a definition of worth. You see that now? Once it is his will for my life, I am happy. So Jesus is shouting and teaching at a crusade with 5,000 people, and he's the next moment with a woman at the well, feeling equally fulfilled. The most important thing was to do the Father's will, not build an empire for himself. When you stop defining your value by what comes in and what goes out, I bought a new car, meaning levels have changed. You are right if you are speaking to unbelievers. But in the kingdom, level has changed if there is a greater determination to serve God with that tool called your vehicle. That's the only condition by which you say level has changed. Apostle, thank you so much. Some more money has come into my account. Now I can give more to the work of God. I can live a more efficient life, take care of my health so that this body can serve the program of God more. Now you are talking kingdom. Once Jesus is not the end point of your discussion, you are carnal. Once you start your discussion from anywhere, I keep listening to you. Once it is kingdom, it ends with Jesus. There must be Jesus there. We're going to pray. Is someone learning now? This is profound. And then for purpose, for me, I've made up my mind, and this has nothing to do with me being a preacher. Anything that comes to my life and cannot serve the program of God, I've already prayed in advance. One, may it not come. Two, if it arrives, it's not demons. May God himself remove it. I mean it. Once you give me 10 naira today, I dance over that 10 naira, not because it's going to add anything to me necessarily. I have redefined my value. Anything that gives me an opportunity to serve God, anything that gives me an opportunity to be invested in the program of God, that's my desire right now. I truly desire to see him revealed in and through my life. Someone once asked me a question and said, Apostle, if you were not a preacher, what would you be doing? I said, the same thing I'm doing now. You are the one that named what I'm doing preaching. He said, what would you be doing? I said, exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Whoever told you that it was about the mic and about the crowd? No. It was about the heart and the object of worship. That would not change. I would not change what I'm doing. The audience may change. The platform may change. The approach may change. The intelligence may change. But the motif was never about preaching. The motif remains the same. The end point remains the same. Church is quiet. And the Lord is in his temple. Hallelujah. So greatness in the kingdom. Let's tie this up. Greatness in the kingdom starts with an orientation. Please listen. An orientation that redefines value and worth, number one, incorporates purpose, number two, and lays a strong emphasis on service and making a difference. Let me say that again. Greatness in the kingdom starts with an orientation that redefines value and worth, number one. Number two, incorporates purpose to anything you are doing. And then number three, lays a strong emphasis on service and making a difference. So when you talk about greatness in the kingdom, you talk about many things, acquisitions, influence, achievements. But I seek to hear you emphasize these three things. Number one, a redefinition of value. That the crowns are not the reason why you feel satisfied. It is that you are serving God with them. They are tools. Are we together? Number two, that no matter what you find yourself doing, wherever, your purpose ultimately is to see that Jesus is revealed through your life and that you glorify him. And then number three, that the purpose for your rising, your shining, is not only to glorify Jesus, but to be a blessing to humanity. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, a strong emphasis on service and making a difference. That your gift should make a difference. Your rising should make a difference. Your being a star should make a difference. Greatness in the kingdom, therefore, demands that you look beyond self. You cannot be great in the kingdom if the emphasis is you. You yourself become a tool to serving the purposes of God and to being a blessing to humanity. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. If these areas are properly defined, then other aspects of greatness like achievement, like influence, like acquisitions will now fall into place. Please don't forget all that I've said. We are not throwing away achievements. We are not throwing away acquisitions. But all that I've been doing is to reprioritize and reorder it. Whilst in the kingdom, outside of the kingdom, there are many parameters as it defines greatness that speaks louder than others, particularly achievements. Are we together? No matter what kind of depravity of heart an individual has, once he has cars and houses, you know, whatever it is, renown, maybe following and whatever, we consider those people great. Not in the kingdom. Once you come into the kingdom, we check character. Once you come into the kingdom, we check who you are serving, not just what you are doing. Who are you serving with what you are doing? Who is being glorified with what you are doing? Are we together? If you say you are a content creator in the kingdom, then we will verify. Who do you serve with what you do? If you say you are a preacher, who do you serve? He said, choose ye this day who you will serve. Not just where you will go, not just what you will do. Where you will go and what you will do are tools. Eventually, you are serving the king. So when that becomes your orientation, God can lift you. God can bless you. God can honor you. Then 1 Chronicles chapter 28 from verse 12, that scripture becomes true in your life. You see that now, that it is within his power sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter, is it 29, verse 12? Look for it for us. We read that earlier on. Thou is the greatness, the kingdom, the power. You see that now? There are people who wonder why they do everything that should make a man great, yet strangely, they never become great. I have seen this mystery in my life. They are educated, truly. They are intelligent, truly. They want to rise. They want to be known. You see the concerted effort that is invested in being known. But strangely, it's like there is a hand that stops them from rising. And yet on the other hand, you will see people like us, frail, very, very incomplete in ourselves, not much, but we can be foolish enough to say, Lord, if you ever need a vessel, if you ever need a conduit, if you ever need someone who can let the nation see how glorious you are, by your grace and by your mercy, I may not be much, but find a worthy vessel in me. And he says, okay, bring this you. And when he's done, because he's called the maker, that's a name of God you must learn. He does not just make the heavens and the earth. He makes men. If you want to know what the maker do, go to the kitchen. That's the business of the maker. When we say make rice, you piece together. God is able to make all grace abound. Wisdom, because he's making you, he will take you where you need wisdom. Take you where you need the anointing. Take you where you need influence. Take you where you need influence. When the maker is making you, you see that now, he will move you around the body of Christ to fetch within your space the resources needed for your rising. For some of you, God brought you to this conference. This is the last step of the revelation for your rising. Because if it's diligence, truly, you have paid your price. If it's prayer, if it's fasting, if it's being gifted, you have mastered your craft. But God sent me to work in partnership with the Holy Ghost to do something to your heart. There needs to be a redefinition of the value. That when God lifts you by August and we hear you are now working with UN, when God lifts you and we hear that you are somewhere across the globe, when everybody is serving the God that took them there, you will remember. Are we together? Because in the presence of greatness, men can forget. The Bible says, let it not be that when you have built houses, we'll leave that for tomorrow. When you have done all of this, you will say, my power and my might. And you know, men can help you forget. The way they clap for you, you are the said, you are the one they can see. They can't see the one who made you. It is up to you to be wise enough to say, listen, I must decrease. I must decrease so that the maker, that's the orientation of the one who desires greatness in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'll wrap up by telling you something the Lord told me years ago. One day, sincerely praying and just saying, Lord, just have your way through my life. Whatever it is that you desire to do with this life, be glorified. The Lord told me something profound. He said, son, if you will let men see me, there is nothing I will not give you. I did not understand the gravity of that statement. If you will let men see me, in what way will I cover them? Let me tell you how to cover Jesus. By standing in front of the cross. When you stand in front of the cross so that you become the center of attraction, you stop men from seeing him. But when you hide behind the cross, whether as a businessman, celebrating enviable strides, yet your heart is stayed on him. Celebrating achievements, celebrating whatever, renown, and yet your heart is stayed on him. Let me tell you the truth. A time comes where humility in your life does not just become a desire. It must become a project. Where you supervise yourself daily. Where you become a prophet of your destiny. You say, myself, be in check. Because of the excellency of your rising. You should be wise enough to learn from Lucifer by now. Are we together? Something happens to men when they rise. Something happens to men when pain goes away. Something happens to men when others call you great. Something happens to men when you feel you have arrived. Using Message Chinwo's line, something happens when your imagination becomes your reality. So this is how my life can be. So this car is my own. So this house is my own. So these likes and follows belong to me. So this estate belongs to me. Do you really need God at that point? Do you really need to pray at that point? What then is the value of fasting? Go back to my lecture. When he becomes the epicenter of your worth, nothing that comes in or goes out affects his place. That is the posture of the great in the kingdom. And nothing interrupts your mission. Greater opportunity to rise is greater opportunity to serve Jesus. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. My brothers and my sisters, sometimes it is uncomfortable for us to give testimonies about ourselves because it will sound like pride. I have made up my mind many times when I speak, I just use scripture and use other people's story, because we live in a world where once you want to say something to encourage people, people misunderstand you. But let me tell you, by the message of God, I don't stand to downplay your pedigree, but this man standing before you, I have not just heard that God lifts. I am a testament of what happens. The things we have seen, the things we have heard, by the mercy of God, the things our hands have handled. You can talk about a concept you have no idea of, but you are talking about a reality that you are in right now, in ever increasing proportions. I know what happens to men when they do not redefine their priority of Jesus. Life will tear you into pieces, and success will become the reason why you fail. Whoever said failure is the reason why men fail? Did you not know many today fail because they succeeded? Success became the door to their downfall. The immunity is this reorientation. That greatness in the kingdom, whether it comes as achievements, whether it comes as acquisitions, whether it comes as increased influence, whether it comes as a mastery of craftsmanship, whether it comes as whatever it is, you see that now, it must be for service, to serve Jesus Christ and to be a blessing to your world. To serve Jesus Christ directly and to be a blessing. Your money, to serve Jesus and to be a blessing. Whatever will make me run away from those God has called me to bless is useless to my destiny. The reason why he lifts me is to give me an opportunity to reach. You see that now. If he gives you a healing anointing, the healing anointing is for the people that he sent you to. So you must bend over backwards. Sometimes you are tired, but you know that someone depends on that grace. It's him who is at work, but he walks through men. If God has given you a voice, you are only great when your voice becomes a tool. Your voice can become a tool for self, and you find out that all things can be right, but you will never rise, in a very strange way. This answers the question of many people as to why they keep cracking this code for greatness. My brothers and my sisters, let me wrap up by telling you this. Paul can plant, Apollos can water, but in this kingdom, it is only God who gives increase. You can do everything right, and a generation will reply you by saying, "We don't believe in you." We are not talking of being licentious. We are not talking of being fake. You can be competent, and a generation will reply you back and say, "We are not interested in you." You can be the finest preacher, doctrinally sound, end to end. Let me tell you, and in a strange way, you will find out that nobody is interested in you, because only the King of Glory, the one who makes men great, he's called the Father of Spirits. He's the one who touches the heart of a generation to pay attention to you. It will take a fool to ignore him looking for greatness. Can we rise and cry for 1 minute and say, "Lord, purify my heart, purify my motive"? I'm out of time, but please lift your voice and let's pray. Lift your voice and pray. Redefining greatness in the kingdom. beyond things coming, beyond things living, beyond acquisitions, beyond influence, beyond achievements, beyond the mastery of your craft, beyond networks and connection. There must be a deep-rooted desire. Someone lift your voice and thank him for all that you have heard tonight. And ask him that he will do a circumcision in your heart. A circumcision that keeps you in a posture of humility. Someone lift your voice. Just 1 minute and we're done. Let it be a desperate cry from your heart. I show you the pathway that turns your wildest imagination to your reality. Exceeding abundantly, far above all we ask or think. This is how the lifter lifts men. This is how the great one makes men great. This is how the helper helps men. 20 more seconds. Someone, you are crying to the Lord. I desire to taste of kingdom greatness, but purify my heart and let it be for your glory. Purify my heart and let it be so that I can serve your purposes, revealing Jesus and being a blessing to my world, not just making a name for myself, not just building empires, that as they look at me, they see you. As they look at me, they see you. That you be glorified in my life. Glorified in my life. Glorified through the songs. Glorified through the preaching. Glorified through the expertise. Glorified through the wealth. Glorified through the achievements. Glorified through the awards. Glorified through the rising. Glorified through the promotions. Glorified through the open doors. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Listen, if you forgot anything I said in this place tonight, just remember that the creed for the believer in desiring greatness in the kingdom is that God be glorified and that humanity be blessed. Once that bargain is fixed, you are ready to do the business of the throne, the business of greatness, beyond your wildest imagination. All other things become enhancers. Once you get your anchors right, glorifying Jesus and making a difference to my world. That's what your pastor is doing. That's the reason why God keeps lifting him. That's the reason why every year becomes from glory to glory, because he's the lifter of men. No matter how high you have gone, let me tell you, there is still a height above where you are, beyond where you are. Even when he got to heaven, he was told to come up hither. There is still room for more. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can I do the altar call, sir? Is it all right to do an altar call? Tomorrow, hopefully, we'll have the time to just speak over people. I truly believe, you know, as God helps me and as I grow, I take my assignment more seriously. There's a way God helps you that compassion rises from within you every time you stand to talk to people. It's beyond a preacher delivering his session. You know the truthfulness of the things you are saying, and a part of you cries that someone will at least believe that these are not cunningly devised fables, that this is the pathway that leads to light. And I'm praying that through the frailty of our communication, the Holy Ghost will breathe upon these words, and that it will become a strong drive. It will draw someone to the secret place, that you will testify soon after now that on account of what you heard, there was no restraint to your rising, because now God could trust you with many. He gave you 5 talents, 2, 1. You were faithful in it, and now he's increased your sphere of influence. May that be your testimony. But very quickly, let me stand in faith with Pastor and all the men of God in this place. It always starts with Jesus and it ends with Jesus. It's impossible to have a conference like this without one person being convicted. The Bible says the Lord adds daily, first, as many who should be saved. Saved before transformed. Transformation is useless until salvation is intact. Hallelujah. The value of transformation is that it comes to a life that's been saved, born again. Let me extend this beautiful gift of salvation to someone here. You came to church, you were invited, maybe here the overflow is following online, and you just heard this preacher talking about greatness, or you connected tonight. I introduce to you Jesus. He truly is the object of our discussion. We're talking beyond cars, we're talking beyond fame, we're talking beyond renown and notoriety. It starts and ends with him. And as you heard me speak, the Holy Ghost began to quicken it in your heart that you need to make things right with Jesus. Wherever you are, I want to make a request that you leave your seat. I just need one sincere person, honest enough tonight, to win that war of destiny. And you're saying, Apostle, I want to make it right. I'll count 1 to 5. Wherever you are, run like there's fire on the mountain, because this is a business of your destiny. By the 5th count, please be standing here and we'll pray a prayer for you. 1. Let's celebrate them as they come. God bless you. God bless you. I see a few brethren coming here. If you're joining them, join quickly. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Wherever. Let's celebrate them. I see people coming from everywhere. 2. God bless you. Come. 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 You are in partnership with Jesus. Rewriting your destiny. Rewriting your possibilities. Come. There's no shame and no fear. It's like calling you to receive an award. It's the wisest decision you can make in this side of God's kingdom. 3. 2 more counts and we begin to pray. If you're coming, please make haste very quickly. 4. Let's celebrate them as they come. Let's celebrate them as they come. Male and female, come. And to those who are connected online across the globe, here's your chance to make Jesus Lord of your life. Wherever you are following from across the globe, as we lead these ones here at Recharge Conference to make this noble decision, I'd like you to join from your home, your offices, and Jesus becomes Lord of your life from now. Hallelujah. My brothers and my sisters, thank you. The Bible says, as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. I'm standing in partnership with the angel over this house. And to lead you, it's an honor. It gives me great joy to lead you to this Jesus, not another one. With your hands lifted as though you really mean surrender. Would you say this after me as loud and as clear as you are able to? Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I love you with all my heart. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I am a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Father, thank you for these ones. They have come declaring your lordship. I stand in faith with the angel over this house to speak a blessing over you. The grace to live the victorious life from today is imparted upon you. I call you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I declare that you go forward ever and backward never. For it's in Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Amen. Please, would you look to, okay, there are counselors who are waving their hands. Let me request
look
that
to
you follow them.
To that side. Yeah, that pastor.
Let's celebrate them as a group.
Please put your hands together for them.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you all very much, and we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.